Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal. I have the pleasure today of speaking around the globe as I'm on the line with Christy Noble, who is a medical education officer and an allied health research fellow at Gold Coast Hospital in Australia, and also has an adjunct position at Griffith University. And Christy is going above and beyond the call of duty right now by squeezing me in just before she runs off on what sounds like an amazing vacation. So thank you first and foremost for taking the time to chat, Christy.
Oh, no worries. My pleasure, Kevin. Thank you for the opportunity.
We're going to talk about a paper you have coming out in the April 2017 issue of Medical Education that is titled Learning to Prescribe Through Coworking, the Case of Junior Doctors, Pharmacists, and Consultants. And if I may, I'd like to jump in by asking you what got you interested in this interprofessional activity, first and foremost. And second, is there particular reason that you thought workplace-based learning was an important area in which to start this exploration?
So I guess the reason I became interested in this topic is that I have a history as a hospital pharmacist, but I also now work within medical education, and I've studied education over that time frame. So working within medical education, but having a pharmacist background, it seemed that we could make a lot more contributions as pharmacists to supporting junior doctor learning, but in ways that probably hadn't been considered so much previously. So working within medical education, I noticed that pharmacists would do things around supporting the orientation of junior doctors. But then when I was chatting and working with junior doctors, I found that their university experiences hadn't really supported them in a way that was helpful for them when they hit the ground as new junior doctors in the hospital setting. So we began to think about ways that we might more effectively support their prescribing learning. I have had a long interest in workplace learning, and to me it makes sense. We do almost all of our learning through our workplace experiences, and yet this is an area which may not be explored so much in supporting prescribing. There's a lot of excellent literature looking at ways that we can support prescribing education, but where we might fall short a little bit is looking at, once these junior doctors get into context, into the workplace, how do we best support them? So I wanted to explore this in more detail with this study.
What is your experience or that literature tell you about the difficulties that junior doctors have around prescribing?
Some of the difficulties are they've learned a lot about pharmacology. They've learned a lot about, say, the side effects of medications. But the challenge can be when you're in a busy hospital setting, you have a patient in front of you or you have a consultant telling you what to prescribe, and having to do that on the fly, or practical things about how do I actually write up this prescription chart so that it meets the legal requirements without having the pharmacist phoning me to correct. Or how do I prescribe controlled medication such as morphine to adhere to all the legal requirements, but whilst in the context of a busy ward round or competing demands? There's some of the things I've noticed.
When you think about the interactions between these different groups, the junior doctors, pharmacists, and consultants, the way those groups interact will be highly variable across the world. Can you give our listeners a bit more understanding of the context and what the norm is in your environment?
So the norm, certainly we've talked a little bit about this in the study, is that the junior doctors will start working in the clinical setting, and they will be on a ward round, and they will be asked by their teams to, say, prescribe a new medication. And this will be a decision which will have been made collaboratively within the medical team, but in the main led by the consultant. So it's often their decision about what to prescribe for a particular patient given the clinical setting. And then the pharmacists often come after that and review the prescription chart. So the decision's been made by the medical team, and then the pharmacist will review the prescription chart afterwards.
So they're right on site, and would they typically be expected to liaise with the junior doctor and help them understand anything that they saw that was problematic, or would it just be filtered back through the consultant again?
Oh, sure. So once a pharmacist has reviewed the prescription chart, if they notice any problems, either related to the patient or legal considerations or formulary considerations, then they often get in contact with the junior doctor. So the interaction is between the pharmacist and the junior doctor rather than the entire medical team who's made that decision together. So yes, they can be supporting their learning, but that's where what we found in the study can be challenging for the junior, because the pharmacist come to them with a problem with the prescription, but it was a decision made within the entire team. So it can create a bit of angst or a bit of pressure for them, because do they go with what the pharmacist has said, or do they go with what their boss has told them to prescribe?
Right. I want to ask you more about that, but to make sense of it, I should probably ask you to spell out some of the methodological details to carry out this study. Can you tell our listeners a bit about who you spoke with and what sorts of focus you put towards them?
Sure. Recognizing, I guess, that triad that I've explained of interaction, based on that, we wanted to explore that in more detail. So we interviewed both consultants. So they are the senior clinicians. I'm not sure of the terminology across the world, but they are the senior medical officers, and then the junior doctors who may have 1 or 2 years experience, and then we also interviewed pharmacists. So these are all people working within one hospital setting. So we conducted one-off interviews with those people, and we asked the pharmacists about how they interacted with junior doctors, how they contributed to junior doctor learning, the nature of those interactions. And then we also asked the junior doctors about their experiences of working with pharmacist consultants as it relates to prescribing, the types of activities they engage with when they're prescribing. And the same thing for consultants, how they support junior doctor prescribing and also their learning and their interactions with pharmacists.
So, and that actually cycles us back nicely to what I was thinking of asking you earlier, which is that in those interactions between the junior doctor and the pharmacist, is it explicitly meant to be about the pharmacist providing education, or is it more of a collegial interaction between different healthcare providers?
So the focus of the interaction between pharmacists and junior doctors, through the interviews, they didn't describe it as something about supporting learning as such. They described it as something about rectifying errors or addressing prescribing anomalies with the overall intention of improving medication safety. So that was their focus. But the nature of the interaction from the junior doctor perspective could often be felt as one being pointing out deficiencies rather than a yes, it was a feedback process, but it was not necessarily one that was always supportive of their learning, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It hints at some of the complexities that you identified. I wonder if I can ask you to elaborate a bit on those. Why was this such a complex relationship to navigate?
I think the complexity relates to what I talked about earlier, is the way in which prescribing decisions are made and then how they're rectified. So a prescribing decision, or a decision to prescribe something in particular, is often made within a medical team. And there's plenty of literature around saying that, you know, emphasizing the influence of hierarchy and the importance of hierarchy. So a junior doctor can be reluctant to go against that, particularly if a pharmacist, who can be considered an outsider, and I don't mean that in a negative way, it's just the nature of the work, and outsiders coming in saying you need to do something differently. But then there's this delicate balance of the hierarchy where the junior doctor, you know, part of their future jobs are dependent on the impressions of the senior doctors have of them. So if they're going against what the seniors have said, that can be quite a challenging situation.
And so those interactions, did they seem like they were things that were relevant to all interprofessional collaborations, or do you think there's something specific to the pharmacy physician learning together in this particular workplace?
I probably couldn't generalize, but I think there's probably a completely different dynamic, say, with nursing and medical staff, which I wouldn't want to talk to. But I think what's probably interesting for pharmacists, and certainly within our setting, is that pharmacists come in and out of different wards, so they're not always present within a particular ward setting, which I think can make it more challenging. You know, there's a consistency with nursing staff. They're in the same setting, which the doctors are also in. So it can be more challenging, I think, for pharmacists coming in to, say, develop rapport with the team or develop that collegiate opportunities. And that's part of why we've suggested in the paper about the benefit of engaging pharmacists on ward rounds so that they can be there with the team, making the decisions collaboratively. So finding more opportunities to collaborate rather than coming in and out and interacting on the basis of a prescribing error, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so actually making them less of an outsider, to go
yeah.
back to that word. Any other recommendations coming out of this work or insights that you think would be valuable to others who are trying to do that sort of thing to create a more cohesive team environment?
I think part of the things that we talked about through the study, you know, the junior doctors hadn't had a lot of experience, particularly when they were students, of working with pharmacists and understanding the best way to interact. So I think from medical school, and they do a lot of placements, but part of the focus when they come on placement might be about spending time with a pharmacist, understanding the nature of their work, understanding prescribing patterns and best practice from the perspective of the pharmacist. I think that could be a really useful way. I know there's a lot of interprofessional learning occurring in the undergraduate setting, but I think there'd be value in having students working with a practicing pharmacist.
Right. I know one of the questions you raise is at what stage of the physician's training is it appropriate to start co-working in this way? Again, any advice for others who are trying to encourage these interprofessional models as to when is best to initiate such contact?
Certainly in our setting, I think, for medical students later on in their degree, so we would have, say, third or fourth year medical students, so they're in their second to last year. I think that would be a time they would have to have a sense of their own teams or their own sense of identity, but also then I think it's important to start building that identity with other professionals.
The last question I'll have for you as we think about wrapping up is where this is going. You've shone a light on an interesting interaction, and I know of a large literature on workplace-based learning and a large literature on interprofessional education, but not a huge amount of effort to bring those two together. Do you have any thoughts you'd care to share with the world at this point as to where you think this is leading you?
I think that's an excellent question, and I think that's definitely our future focus of research is, I guess in some ways we've looked at a smaller case or example of the importance of co-working and how that can contribute to learning or interprofessional co-working. And that is an area that we'd really like to explore in more detail is how can we support effective interprofessional working and learning? You know, how can we theorize in a way that'll be applicable across settings and across professions? And you're right, there's not a whole lot of literature combining the two, so that is definitely an area of focus. And I think the other thing for us to consider as well is what practically can we now do or implement and then evaluate that? So what effect will the pharmacists have on ward rounds and how can that improve junior doctor learning about prescribing? So looking at some of our recommendations and then implementing and evaluating those.
Great. Well, I'll wish you the best of luck with that, and we'll direct our listeners to the more extended version of the recommendations and the details that led to them by looking for the paper in the April 2017 issue of Medical Education. It's titled Learning to Prescribe Through Coworking, the Case of Junior Doctors, Pharmacists, and Consultants, and you have just been listening to the first author, Christy Noble from Queensland. Thanks again. I hope you have a wonderful vacation and look forward to seeing what comes next.
Thanks, Kevin, and also thank you to my collaborators as well and the participants.